Welcome to Unearthing You, a place where women come together to have honest, raw, and deep conversations about the things that happen as you're going through growth, up-level, and expansion. I am your host, Chelsea Sillabon, bringing you a beautiful rendition of my love. Enjoy! Hello! Oh my gosh, I've been on such a hiatus, and I'm so happy to be back. I took an unannounced break on here because of the holidays, and I am back. So back, and ready for some juicy content. I've had a lot of ideas flow through me in the last couple of weeks, and I still have so many amazing interviews to release. And so I just wanted to say that episodes are going to be released, and I'm going to do more episodes of just me, just yours truly, because I'm really excited to be doing this. Truth be told, when I started this podcast, there was a big part of me that didn't fully trust that I could deliver content on here on a regular basis, or that it would be hard for me. And so I am just going through the ebbs and flows, and you know, we all have our areas of growth, and part of my big area of growth is learning to trust myself and learning to trust my creative process. So I am so excited to be back, and so excited to be here with you. You know, and you know, it's only 2 weeks into this new year, and I already feel like I am learning things on such a deep level and in such a deep way. Oh my gosh, like this new year and this new decade, like I didn't really feel the hype about it like I usually do. I didn't really want to vision for the new year. And a lot of the reason for that was I had a lot of disappointments wrapped up into the latter part of 2019. And a lot of things that I wanted answers, a lot of questions that I had answers to, or that made no sense. A lot of questions that I wanted answers for. And so I really needed to take some time to process and to reflect before really setting any new goals. And truth be told, like I held a lot of judgment towards myself because of that. I wanted to be in the hype. I wanted to be so excited that I was living to see another decade and another new year. And I just had to keep reminding myself on a daily basis that, like, my process is my process, and I am where I am. And I don't need some elusive new day or new beginning, new or elusive, like, new year to, like, set a new goal or to become more intentional. I simply needed to be and surrender into my own process. So I just wanted to like throw this in here, because if you were feeling the same way, or maybe you still are feeling the same way, you know, you're not alone in that, and you don't have to get caught up in the hype of it all. If you're not ready to be caught up in the hype of it all, start your new, like, your new year, like, yeah, it started on January 1st, and tomorrow's a new day. You get to start a new day tomorrow. You don't have to wait for January 1st of 2021 or, like, next Monday to start something. Start it tomorrow. Start it today in this moment, because you can change your mind at any time. You know, like, if you're following a trajectory in this moment and it's not sitting well with you, remember, you can change your mind. So change your mind. Allow that to be okay. There's nothing wrong with changing your mind. All right? All right. I'm glad we're on the same page. Yeah, so today we are starting a two-part series on conflict resolution. And today's episode is going to be all about being intentional when entering into tough conversations. And next week's episode is going to be about learning to self-soothe and self-regulate when you enter into these tough conversations, or really any conversation that puts you into a state of dysregulation. Because even just like the most mundane conversation can have some sort of trigger, and it can send you into that state of dysregulation. So learning to self-soothe is going to be so important. And I am so passionate about both of these topics because I truly, truly, with all of my heart and being, believe that the more intentional that we can be in life, but really the more intentional that we can be in any conversation, the more intimate our relationships will become. And if you know me, you know I'm all about intimate relationships. And to me, having intimate relationships means that there are less lonely people and a wider spread sense of community, because community is common unity. We're coming together because of our commonalities. We're bonding because of our commonalities. And I bet you that you have so much more in common with people than you even realize. You know, I like the saying, I don't know if I made it up or if I heard it somewhere, but it's like, we come together because of our commonalities and we learn because of our differences. And so when we can enter into these conversations and be more intentional with it, it's only going to build more community in your life. And honestly, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be lonely. I spent so much of my life feeling and being lonely that I don't want that for other people. And so I've made it my mission to help people leave that loneliness feeling behind, because we all deserve to feel desired and wanted and needed in some way, shape, or form. So if you're ready, I'm ready, because I'm like SpongeBob and I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Every time I say I'm ready, or like 90% of the time that I say I'm ready, that's what I hear. I hear SpongeBob in my head saying, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. anyways, so let's start by talking about what I mean by tough conversations. I think we all have our own definition of what a tough conversation is, and it can vary depending on the situation. So, you know, just understand that, like, my definition of what a tough conversation is doesn't necessarily mean it has to be what your definition of what a tough conversation is, okay? So, what I mean by tough conversations is where we're setting or reinforcing a boundary, because for me, that hasn't always been an easy thing. And I'm betting for a lot of people, that hasn't always been an easy thing. And it can also look like sharing a vulnerable and intimate story or details about your life. That isn't always an easy thing, to be really honest and raw and vulnerable with somebody and not know how they're going to receive it. And it could also look like having a conversation that's filled with a lot of emotions, a lot of it, of like triggers, something that could potentially be triggering for you or the other person. And that could be something like telling someone that you felt hurt by their words or actions. And really, in all of these cases, intentionality is so important, because we all want our needs to be met. We all want our voices to be heard and some sort of resolution to be had, some sort of like feeling of this is resolved to be had. And to me, without intentionality, without knowing the purpose behind what it is that you're saying or the reason for having that conversation, it's more likely that one or both people will enter into a triggered state. And once that happens, it's really difficult, like really, really, really difficult, and I might even argue impossible, to give or receive anything from a really grounded and loving place. Because once you're triggered, it takes some time and space to flip yourself back, into that state of regulation, so that you can give and receive information from a grounded and loving place. And like I said, being intentional is all about being purposeful. And tough conversations are likely going to be tough for both people. If you think it's tough for you, it's likely going to be tough for the other person. And when we don't enter into these conversations with a sense of purpose, things really can go haywire and your relationships can start to deteriorate because the stability that your relationship was built on may have already been rocky, and that lack of intentionality can cause it to crumble, or the trust within the relationship can get rocky because now the other person might associate this feeling of instability and dysregulation with you, and that doesn't feel good for either people. And so the more intentional that both people can be when entering into a conversation, the more success you're going to have, the more resolution there's going, the more likely you are to enter into a state of resolution for both people. So it's really important that you understand your purpose and that you do some legwork before having these conversations to really understand your purpose. And I also want to say that if you're entering the conversation to blame or point fingers at somebody, I would highly recommend against having the conversation at that moment. It's not saying to never have the conversation, but to just shy away for a little bit longer until you've taken some time to process what it is that you're feeling and what's coming up for you. Because casting blame onto somebody means that you haven't really looked at your part and your responsibility in it. And it means that there's still some feelings and areas of stickiness. And really, that's okay. You're allowed to feel sticky. And really, being the victim is allowing yourself to be the victim, should I say, is an important part of your growth. Because you are accepting where you are. Acceptance leads us to the breakthrough. Acceptance leads us to clarity. And when we resist this feeling of being a victim to somebody else, we're not fully accepting where we are. So just some food for thought. It's okay to be the victim as long as you're not allowing yourself or wanting yourself to stay there. So what I would recommend for processing through your emotions before having this conversation, or even before talking about it with anybody else, because that used to be a trend of mine, is I would feel really disgusted by somebody or feel really victimized by somebody, and the first thing I would want to do is go and complain to somebody else. And what that does is it creates an inner dialogue from somebody else rather than your own inner dialogue. Because typically when you go and have these conversations where you're complaining about someone else or a situation, the first thing the person wants to do is give you advice. And that's not often what you need. So what I would recommend is to do this. Allow this to be an intimate you time experience. This is a you experience, not a somebody else experience. Okay. So you can take out your journal and answer some questions. And by journal, I mean it can either be pen and paper, because sometimes that's really nice, or it can be taking out your phone and recording a voice memo in a private space. Whichever one is going to work best for you. Some people process better through their voice. Some people process better through their writing. The reason why I recommend doing this on your own, especially if you're not used to entering into conversations intentionally, because there is a way to vent to somebody by asking them to just listen to you. But why I recommend doing this by yourself is because this is an intimate part of processing. You are going through and understanding like what you're feeling and how you're feeling, and maybe even new perspectives. So when you, and I also would not recommend, side note, I also would not recommend just doing this in your head, because if you're just doing this in your head, it's not going to be very productive. Because truth be told, when you keep things in your head and you don't take them out by, take them out of your head through either your voice or through writing, you're really just going to be like spinning yourself in circles, because the same thoughts are going to continue to float around. And I imagine these thoughts like being in banners and like just bouncing off, you know, like, the screensavers that we used to have on Windows computers back in the 90s, how they would just like go across and it would say the same thing, and it would just like continue to say the same like phrase, or like maybe even the time or date. Like, that's how I imagine our thoughts when we don't take the time to like get them out of our head through talking or through writing. So take some time and process them, and let them be out in the world before you go into having this conversation, especially if you're feeling like the victim. So what I would recommend, some questions that you can sit and reflect with and ponder on, are: what parts of this still feel sticky? And where am I still wanting to blame the other person? Where am I still wanting to blame the other person for all of these things? And then the last question, once you've kind of processed through both of those first two questions, the next question that you want to ask yourself is, where can you take responsibility? Or where is it that you are responsible within this matter? And sometimes that looks like being specific, saying specifically how you could have taken more responsibility or initiative without putting all of the responsibility onto the other person. Or sometimes that really looks like you saying, being really specific or being really simple and saying like, I know this isn't all your fault, and I know I play an issue in this as well. So if that last part of like how you can take responsibility isn't evidently clear to you, know that like when there is a conflict between two people, or when you are feeling a certain kind of way about something and you want to blame the other person entirely, that it is not all their fault, and there is always some responsibility to be shared, whether that is evidently clear to you or not. And once you have gotten to this place of resolution within yourself, where you are no longer given that power to somebody else, and you are accepting some sort of responsibility, I really recommend taking some time. And again, this doesn't have to be long, but take some time to understand your reason for having this conversation. In the example that I'm giving, she has about a week to develop this intentionality, but not all conversations, tough conversations, hard conversations, are going to have that much time for you to build the intention behind it. So again, it can be a fraction of the time, but as long as you are entering into this from a place of intentionality and understanding your responsibility in it, then you are going to find more success. And remember that it's a work in progress, okay? So each time you get to go back and reflect and refine your practice. So I remember one of my very first coaching clients, or actually my very first coaching client, was getting ready to have a conversation with her boss about some important topics at work and something about boundaries being crossed. And I remember that like she was feeling very stressed about it. She was causing her a great amount of stress, and she really wanted to have a successful conversation. She wanted to be received well. She wanted to be heard, and she wanted her boss to hear where she was coming from, and then to reach some sort of resolution, right? And so we took one of our sessions and we really planned out what that intentional conversation would look like, so that she could feel like there was some sort of resolution. And so since she knew that she was going to be having a conversation in about a week, I told her to spend some time every day reminding herself that I gave her like this little sentence. So I'm going to say the sentence and I'm going to kind of go back piece by piece. But it's, this conversation is important to me because ... It is important for me to say these things ... And my intention is to come to a resolution on this matter. It is my desire to be received well, and if I'm not, their reaction is their own. And so having like this sort of like sentence frame, this sort of like type of thing will help you really understand like your intentions behind it. So why is this conversation important to you? So give your reason. What is it? Why is it so important to have this conversation? And then once you understand why the conversation is important to you, what are like two or three things? And again, it just doesn't have to be super detailed. They can be like little like bullet points or just like quick theme overview things. But what are like two or three things that you are really, that are really important that you really want to talk about, that you really want to say within this conversation? And then the last part about like your intention to come to a resolution on this matter, like having this portion, this piece of like coming to a resolution, that's going to look different for everybody. So what would it look like for you? How would it feel for you to feel resolve on this? And then it is my desire to be received well, and I know if I'm not, their reaction is their own. So this is just a reminder that like it's your desire to be received well, and you can only claim responsibility for what you have control over. And you only have control over yourself, your reactions, your desires, and how you communicate those things. And you don't really have control over somebody else's reactions or somebody else's responses. And so like you can't take responsibility for their reaction or their response, but you can take responsibility for yourself leading up to that point. So that's just my little spiel here. And it's really important that like that if you have the time that you do something like this, obviously it doesn't have to look this way. You can adapt it and change it for you. But this is such a good, it was so good. I remember her coming back and like being, feeling really, having a lot of resolve and having a lot of happiness around the conversation and how it went. It was a successful conversation. Her boss received her well. And the fear that she had about her boss not receiving her well kind of went out the window once she started breaking into this intentional space, having this intentional conversation. One other thing that is really important to mention in this scenario is when you are talking about having resolution in the matter and like getting clear on what that resolution would look like to you, it's not about expecting the other person to like bend to your will and to do the like this one or two particular things. This is about like really having the resolution is about learning to maybe come to a compromise, or this is maybe having a feeling within you, feeling of peace within you after the conversation is done. So I just wanted to add that in here because sometimes, you know, it can, when we talk about like resolution, we think of like an end result. We think of having come to have like this one or two things met in a certain way. But really understanding that like expectation kills is like setting the other person up for failure. And that's like a whole conversation for another day, but the expectation for somebody to do something, especially do something in a certain way, is not going to lead to a more intimate connection with the person and thus less community. And so that's just a practice that you can get into. Okay. So backtracking a little bit, the first step is to release yourself, accept that you're in victim mentality, and release yourself, allow some clarity and answers to come through. The second step is to understand why you are having this conversation. What is the reason and the purpose for this conversation? If it's simply to shit on the person, go back to step one. If it is really to have some sort of resolve, then you can continue on and resolve without expectation. Then you would continue on to the third step. And the third step is a very, very crucial piece of the conversation. This is like the whole basis of the conversation, being intentional with tough conversations, really being intentional when entering into tough conversations. This is such an important piece, and I can tell you why, and I will, but I wanted to say this first. So I've been reading a book. It's called The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work by John Gottman. It's an amazing book. So whether you're in a marriage or you're simply in a relationship, or you just want to learn about this, like, because I'm kind of a nerd and I like to do the, like, read things even if it doesn't 100% apply to me. But I've been reading it, and I'll put the link in the show notes, but I've been reading it to deepen my understanding of conflict resolution. And what he calls this is having a soft startup, or softening the startup. So instead of having this really harsh startup, you are softening it so that it is more well received. And I also want you to know that we all are going to have different ways of having a soft startup. And I also want you to know that it's going to get easier with more time and practice and reflection and refinement, just as everything else. And so if it seems foreign to you, if it feels foreign to you, just know that it does get easier. And the more that you do it, especially with, like, if you're doing this sort of format with the same person over and over again, it is going to get shorter and shorter. And this doesn't have to take like 10 minutes. This can be like a 2-minute thing or a 1-minute thing. But just know that it does get easier and it can be shortened. And I recommend taking your time in this, because this is starting the conversation, building the intentionality with the other person, bringing the other person into being intentional. Because you can do all of this work on your own, have all of these intentions, and if they're not told to the other person or shared with the other person, and they're not brought into the process with you, then you're not fully allowing it to be intentional. So the format that I'm going to give you is a format that I found to be successful for me, especially in my beginning stages. I haven't fully outgrown this yet. So as my process evolves, obviously I will share that with you guys. But in his book, Gottman says, and I quote, "Perhaps the most important quality of this exchange is the virtual absence of the four horsemen. There is no criticism, contempt, defensiveness, or stonewalling." And what's important here is the no criticism, contempt, defensiveness, or stonewalling. And Gottman goes into a great deal of detail as to what these four horsemen are, which are the four things that I listed. And I'm not going to go into great detail, because I feel that we all have somewhat of an understanding of what criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling are. But it is important to just note that when we are starting the conversation with criticism or contempt, or when the other person comes back in a defensive manner, or the other person just shuts down altogether, or you just shut down altogether, then the conversation is headed for no resolve. So unless you can kind of bring the conversation back to the intentionality. And if it can't be brought back to the intentionality and you find yourself starting to be in this really heightened emotional and triggered state, then that's where we go into next week's episode on self-soothing. So just wanted to throw that in here for importance. Anyways, let's talk about why this starting of the conversation is important, other than bringing them into the intentionality of it and like the format of this conversation. So I'm going to share the format with you, and then I'm going to break down each piece of the format so that we can come to a general understanding of what that looks like. And I'm going to be really honest, you've probably seen me post about this a few times in my Instagram, but I want to go into a little bit more detail here because I have the space and the capacity to do it, and I'm not limited to a certain number of characters or minutes in sharing. So, I always like to start these tough conversations by asking if the person has the capacity to be present with the conversation. Because if the person is doing something that creates unpresence or is deemed to be like disrespectful to you, is not going to create much success for the conversation. So we want to set the conversation up. So do you have space to be present with this conversation? I want to talk about XYZ. Tell the person what it is that you want to talk about and give them an opportunity to respond, because I can tell you from personal experience, when either person, or if there's multiple people involved, when one person is not ready to have the conversation, it can cause a world of hurt if they're forced into the conversation and they kind of go into that fight or flight response and they freeze and they don't know how to get out of the conversation or get out of that situation. And you know, I personally don't ever want to send somebody into a state of unsafety within themselves. I want people to feel safe with me. And so, because that's something that I value, it's really important for me to make sure that somebody else has the space for the conversation and that they can be fully present, because I like to know that like they're listening to me, that they're not going to be on their phone or watching TV or reading a book or worried about the emails that they have to write, right? I want them to be able to be present. So if they need 10 minutes to go and finish the email or finish the text message or finish the game, then give them that time. Because this is about a mutual respect. And again, bringing them into the intentional conversation, allowing them to have a say in it, because when we have a conversation, it isn't one-sided. And if it is one-sided, then you're really just like shitting on the person and like asking them to like bend to your will. So this is about having a two-sided, mutual, respective conversation. So if they say no, say, I respect that. And is there a time that would be better for you? How much time do you need so that we can have this conversation? It's really important to me. However it is that you want to say it. And then if they say yes, perfect, golden. You can go on to this next part about telling the person about your intentions and anything that you may need to feel safe during the conversation. So this has not always been the easiest thing. The intentions behind the conversation, it doesn't have to be this long-winded answer. It's just maybe the intention is just sharing with them how you were feeling and setting a boundary about what how to do this next time, right? What it is that you would look better next time. Maybe that's the intention. And then anything that you may need to feel safe during the conversation, that can look like, you know, if things really start to feel out of control for me, I'm going to ask for some time to walk away, to reground myself, and to create more presence within myself. It could also be something like, you know, like if the other person tends to yell, because I know that when I get mad, I tend to yell. And I know that that's something that my partner doesn't like. Even if I'm mad and I'm not directly yelling at him, he doesn't like it when I start to raise my voice. And so if that's something that he needs in the conversation to feel safe, then that's something that I can do my very best to respect. And if it starts to get out of control, and if I start to like raise my voice and he starts to feel unsafe, then I can say, okay, like, I notice that you're feeling unsafe and I notice that I'm raising my voice. So I'm going to take some time to process. Or he can say, like, I notice that you're raising your voice and I'm starting to feel unsafe. Let's take some time apart and then come back when we can come together. Things like that. This is really about setting up a safe space for both people so that they both feel seen and heard, and both people feel resolved. Because again, this is a two-sided conversation, and this part is about bringing the other person into the conversation, bringing the other person into the intentionality of the conversation. And if they don't have anything that is going to make them feel safe, it's okay. But it's important that you allow the other person to respond and to share their intentions if they have any intentions. Maybe it's just simply that they are here to listen, or maybe they don't particularly have one, and that's okay too. Don't make them wrong for being where they are in their journey. Just allow them to be where they are, and you be where you are, right? And then after you've kind of gone through that, talk about a general structure that you want to have within the conversation. And obviously, you don't have to, like, this doesn't have to be something that's explicitly established, especially if it's just going to be like this freestyle volley. Like, you know, one person is going to talk and then you're going to respond and then blah, 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 right? Go from there. This doesn't have to be that something that's explicitly stated, but if it's something like if the other person tends to interrupt you, that can be something that you say. Like, that could be a part of the part of feeling safe within the conversation of, like, you know, it's really important to me that while I'm talking, that I'm being listened to without interruption. Is that something that you think that you can do? Or do you want to have like a set number of minutes that somebody can like share, so that they, like, one person isn't dominating the conversation totally? I personally wouldn't recommend anything more than like 2 to 3 minutes per person, just because if you're going to do this kind of format where like we have a set number of minutes to share, just because anything beyond like 2 to 3 minutes can become a little bit overwhelming, and there's a lot to process in that amount of time. So, like, set a time limit if that's something that you're comfortable doing. If not, then just allow it to be a freestyle volley. And again, setting a general structure does not need to be explicitly stated or established, but if there is something, some type of general structure that you want the conversation to have, you know, say that this is something that I want within the conversation. Is that something that you are okay with? And then go from there. So, the reason it is important to have this intentionality is, one, because you want to have purpose to what it is that you're saying, and you don't want to just simply shit on the person, right? When you shit on the person, it's not going to be received well. And so by bringing this intentionality into it, you're bringing a state of presence into the conversation. And a lot of people, you know, especially when you're entering into a tough conversation, and especially if you are going to be telling somebody how you felt hurt in a particular situation by because of their actions and words, it's important that, like, the other person is ready to receive that information. Because if the other person is not ready to receive that information, then it's going to create a wedge. It can create a wedge between you and the other person. It's like, it's not going to be very, very productive. And oftentimes, you know, if the start up, like if this, the start of the conversation, it doesn't go well, and somebody at the very beginning enters into that state of like fight or flight or like dysregulation or unsafety, automatically at the beginning, because of how it was, because of how the conversation was established, then it's not going to be a productive conversation, and there's going to not be a resolve, and because the other person is not able to hear you in that state of fight or flight. They are not processing with a state of presence. They are processing with a state of survival. And I'm going to go into this a little bit more next week in the conversation around self-regulation and self-soothing during tough conversations when things kind of get out of control or out of hand or you start to feel unsafe. So I'm going to leave this part of the conversation for next week, but I also just want to say that people don't like to be surprised. I mean, when they're surprised in a really like fun way for surprise birthday parties, oftentimes like it's okay. But when they're surprised in these like other ways where it can be really confronting for them to look at themselves, it's important that they know what they're getting themselves into and that they know that they have like a way to get out of the conversation if they start to feel unsafe. And so, you know, I'm going to talk about this at length next week, but if you're listening to this podcast episode and you're wanting to develop more intentionality with like your conversations and within your life, then that is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to be the model, to be the guide, to be the example for other people, and to not just outrightly expect them to know how to do that. And to like make them wrong for not knowing how to do that or not understanding why that's important. And so people don't, like I said, people don't like to be surprised by these conversations. And often when people are surprised by these conversations, they're sent into that sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight or flight, and you're in a state of dysregulation. You're looking for survival, so you're not fully able to process and to receive. So that's why it's so important to me to be intentional, is because one, I want to make sure that within my life, and the relationships that I build with people, that people feel safe in coming to me and talking to me. And two, I want to make sure that, you know, that I myself feel safe when talking to another person about a tough topic. And, I want to make sure that they know that, like, they have a say in how this conversation goes and the structure of it and the building of it. And when we try to, like, rush into a conversation just to get it over with and not really bringing much thought to it, again, like, it can cause dissonance between you and the other person. And if it's an intimate relationship, if it's a personal relationship between you and the other person, it's likely that you want that relationship to continue. And like I said at the beginning, not having this intentionality behind these like tough conversations can lead to dissonance, and it can lead to creating a wedge in trust or stability of your relationship. And if the stability of your relationship is kind of already on the rocks from your standpoint, then it's extra important that you enter into this conversation intentionally. So I've given you quite a bit of information, and I just want to go back and kind of summarize the steps to being intentional when entering into a conversation, and know that like your process within this is going to take, can take more time or less time depending on what the conversation is about and depending on how many layers of things there are to process. And again, you don't want to get stuck in a loop of something and end up never having this conversation. But you do want to have some clarity as to why this conversation is important to you, and you know, like what a resolve will feel like to you. Not really what it will look like, but what it will feel like to you, so that you'll know that when you get to that state of resolve, right? So the first step, to sum it all up, is to step away from being the victim and pointing fingers and taking responsibility within this conversation. So if you are the victim, if you are feeling like the victim, go and take some time to process, right? So that you understand where your responsibility in this, so that you can shift from victim mentality to a state of empowerment. And one of the most crucial ways to do that is through acceptance of where you are. And then the second part is, once you've worked through that, is to take some time to understand your why for the conversation. If this is a conversation that you're going to have like in 5 minutes, then just take a couple of minutes to kind of understand the reason why you're having this conversation. If this is a conversation you're going to have like in a week or 2 weeks, then you have a little bit more time to build this intentionality. Okay. And then the third piece is going to be starting the conversation. Starting the conversation. And this is about having a mutual understanding between both people. Having both people have a buy-in to this conversation and the importance of it and the structure of it. Both people having a say in this. So that is all that I have for you today. I hope that you are having a wonderful week, and that you enjoyed this episode, that it brought you some clarity, it brought you some new understandings, some new breakthroughs, some new awarenesses. If it did, I would absolutely be so thrilled and happy if you shared took a screenshot and shared it onto your Instagram stories, or, you know, sent me a DM or left a ratings and review. So thank you so much for being here with me today, and I am so happy to be back, and I can't wait until next week to talk about knowing how to regulate yourself within a sticky situation. So, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to yet another amazing and beautiful episode of the Unearthing You podcast. I am so, so excited to be back. Thank you so much for tuning in to another beautiful episode of Unearthing You. If you are loving the show and find value in it, I would be incredibly grateful if you head on over to iTunes to leave a review. Please feel free to leave any suggestions or questions in your review, or send an email to hello@chelseasillabon.com. with any questions or guest suggestions. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.